The captain told us to start collecting deuterium. Seven suggested a series of modifications to the Bassard collectors. Problem is, I didn't realize the extent of the modifications until after we'd begun the sweep. I mean, not that there was anything wrong with them. In fact, efficiency is up 23%.
In a nutshell, Harry.
The collectors are almost full, but I can't tell exactly how full until I realign my sensors with Seven's.
Why didn't you just say so? Next time, we're closer with her from the start.
Closer.
Right. So, you're going to realign your sensors with Seven's. Sounds like fun.
Very funny.
What was that?
Are you getting feedback from Seven's modifications?
Negative.
Report.
I am picking up proton surges just outside the ship. The first was off the port beam, and the second two were off the starboard bow.
On screen. There's nothing out there.
Whatever it is, it's getting closer.
Red alert. Janeway to astrometrics.
Yes, Captain.
Use the astrometric sensors to scan for the disturbance.
I'm detecting close-range weapons fire.
Source?
Proton surges suggest two cloaked ships engaged in battle.
With us caught in the middle.
Evasive maneuvers.
Aye, sir.
There's a massive power surge, like one of the ships is exploding.
The other ship appears momentarily before quickly recloaking.
Captain, there is one life sign aboard that vessel. It is no longer on our sensors.
We're being hailed. Audio only.
Let's hear it.
Chakotay, please, I need your help.
British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek Voyager, based on Star Trek created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Unforgettable. Gas explodes outwards in a huge arc from an enormous sun. Nuclear reactions in the star's core send great gouts of flame thousands of miles into space. The Federation starship Voyager flies through a giant arc of fire on its continuing journey to find home. Its captain is Catherine Janeway. The starship Voyager pushes through clouds of dust and gas, its flat, oval bow raised above and forward of the cylindrical body to which the engine arms are fixed, forges a path through the unknown darkness of space. Billions of stars shine throughout the universe, illuminating huge gas clouds and multicolored planets. A blue-green planet is framed in a golden glow surrounded by the jagged illuminations of gas and space debris. Voyager flies past great rocks covered in ice and on into the farthest reaches of infinite space. A blue-gray planet streaked with clouds turns in space. Its gravitational pull holds fragments of rock, the debris of dead planets and comets in a thin band encircling the planet like a giant ring. As Voyager passes beyond the ringed planet and on towards others, an unknown sun eclipsed by a satellite moon is revealed as the moon moves on its eternal orbit. The darkness itself is eclipsed by the star's intense brightness. Millions of miles ahead of Voyager, a gigantic, gaseous blue and red nebula proves the existence of many more galaxies. The engines power up, glowing bright blue either side of the starship, and it lunges forward, accelerating into the nebula and disappearing. A ship's image flickers beside Voyager, its cloaking device malfunctioning.
Chakotay, are you reading me? Please answer.
This is Commander Chakotay. Who are you?
Please, anyone on Voyager. If you can hear me, I need help.
There's been an explosion on the vessel.
The hull is destabilizing. Life support is offline.
Beam her directly to sickbay.
Targeting our coordinates. I've lost her. Trying again. I don't understand. I get a clear lock, then it drops out.
If we can get an away team over there, we could stabilize her ship and tractor it in.
Do it.
Tom, Tuvok, let's find out what's going on.
Materializing on the ship, they switch on their torches in the gloomy, smoke-laden atmosphere, and three powerful beams probe the shadows.
Environmental systems are not functioning. Oxygen levels are dangerously low.
Tom, try to get life support online.
No life signs.
See if you can stabilize the hull. I'll look for the pilot. Hello? Can you hear me?
Chakotay, is it you?
Chakotay's torch illuminates a leg sticking out from under a pile of wreckage.
Yes. I'm going to get this bulkhead off you.
but the beam will fall.
Chakotay looks up at the ceiling, shining his torch along a precariously balanced metal joist.
I'm gonna pry the bulkhead off you.
He grabs a metal pole.
When I say now, get ready to roll out of there, like your life depended on it.
All right.
Ready?
Yes.
He quickly kneels beside a blonde-haired woman.
I knew you'd come.
Do I know you?
Chakotay to Voyager. Two to beam directly to sickbay.
The doctor scans the injured woman in sickbay and stares in disbelief at the readings on his data recorder as Captain Janeway strides in.
How is she?
I'm not certain. When I scan her, the readings won't stay in the database. Luckily, I'm a master of visual diagnosis. She has a minor concussion and a compound tibular fracture. Nothing life-threatening. I can repair the damage.
Did you find out how she knows you?
Not yet.
No. I can't.
She's coming around.
Her eyes flicker open and the doctor's face looms over her.
Don't be frightened. You're quite safe here.
She looks away from the doctor and looks blankly at Chakotay. Her gaze falls on Janeway and the woman's eyes suddenly flicker with recognition.
Captain, please, I need asylum. You must let me stay on your ship and we've got to get away from here. They'll be coming after me.
Slow down a minute. I have a few questions first. Who are you? And how do you know my first officer?
It's a complicated story. I'm not sure quite how to begin. But if you don't give me asylum, they're going to track me down and they're going to take me back. And I don't want to go.
We won't turn you over to anyone without knowing the whole story.
Thank you.
Chakotay. I want you to stay with her. She seems to trust you. Maybe you'll be able to find out what this is all about.
I hope so.
Keep me informed.
Once I've repaired the fracture, she'll need some bed rest.
Will you stay with me?
Of course.
And I'll be fine.
There. That should do it. I'd ask you to monitor her vital signs, but since they aren't registering, I suppose there's no point. I have several days' worth of inoculation records to catalog. I suppose I'll get to it.
Is he gone?
Yes.
Then we're alone.
In a manner of speaking. Can you start clearing up a few things now?
I'll try. It's complicated. You see, we've met before.
If that were true, I'm sure I'd remember.
No, you wouldn't. You couldn't. You see, the memories of my people can't be held in the minds of other races. When we encounter others, which we do infrequently, they remember us for a few hours. But then the memories fade away. We're completely forgotten by the next day.
Is this done through technology? Telepathy?
It's a factor of our biology. You see, our bodies produce a sort of pheromone, which blocks the long-term memory engrams of others.
Is that why the tricorder can't scan you? Why we couldn't get a transporter lock?
We're impervious to those sort of devices.
Your ships are cloaked as well.
When you live a covert existence, you develop technology to enhance it.
But you say we've met before.
About a month ago. I spent several weeks here.
Several weeks?
You and I worked closely together. You helped me a great deal. Then I left, knowing that you would forget everything about me.
Then why did you come back? Why the battle? Why ask us for asylum?
I know you want everything in a nutshell. That's the way you work. But I have to tell you the whole story before it will make sense.
Fine. I'm listening.
I came back because I fell in love with you.
Chakotay meets with the officers in the briefing room.
She comes from Remora. It's a closed society that won't tolerate anybody trying to leave. Apparently, she was disenchanted with that and wanted out. They're trying to bring her back. That's why she's asking for asylum.
But you say that she claimed she was on Voyager before this.
About a month ago. She says she's a tracer, a kind of bounty hunter who tracks down people who try to leave their world. She found a runaway hiding on Voyager.
She was here, but nobody remembers it?
That's what she says, but I think we have to find a way to verify her story.
I was looking at her ship. It uses a sophisticated polarization technique that causes our sensor scans to pass right through it. She could have been shadowing us for quite a while. And learned enough about us to convince us she's been here before.
But why? Why go to that trouble? And what about the battle with that other cloaked ship? She put herself in danger. When it would have been a lot easier simply to ask for asylum.
I agree. But I think we have to make sure she doesn't have some hidden agenda. If she was here, there should be some evidence of it. She said a computer virus was planted to wipe all references to her being here. But I have to believe we can at least turn up some evidence of tampering, Harry. Tuvok, Tom, do the same with her ship. See if the navigational logs support what she's saying.
Gentlemen. I agree we should take precautions. But you seem very suspicious of her.
I want to make sure we're not being manipulated.
I agree. If we grant her asylum, we'll be in the position of having to protect her. If we're going to commit to that, we should certainly find out if she's telling the truth. I'd appreciate your thoughts on that.
Aye, Captain.
I have successfully downloaded the navigational logs from your vessel. Good. Now, compare them with your own logs over the last 2 months.
Display Voyager's route toward the Alpha Quadrant.
Now overlay my route. There, you see? Our ships traveled together for at least 2 weeks.
You could have falsified your navigational logs.
There's no proof that you ever came aboard Voyager.
That's what I always liked about you two. Such unyielding logic. Such refreshing skepticism. Run a diagnostic on my logs. You'll find they haven't been altered.
How's it going?
Her story seems to be legitimate, but there are further steps to take.
Then take them. I thought you might like to get something to eat, unless your memories of our mess hall aren't good.
As a matter of fact, I was quite fond of Neelix's food.
Now that's something that's hard to believe.
Commander Chakotay's face became flushed as he spoke with her. What does that signify?
I'd rather not engage in speculation. It is a dangerous pastime.
I think our guest will enjoy this, Commander. Fried soy meal, buttered carrots, and a delightful almond pudding.
Sounds wonderful.
Very nice. Thanks, Neelix.
You were very diplomatic.
Why do you say that?
You hate carrots. Fried food upsets your stomach. And you refuse to eat pudding because you think it's slimy. Right?
I'm curious. When you were here before, you said we worked together, but you also said you were here to retrieve a runaway. How was I involved?
Aren't you more curious to hear about how we fell in love?
We? You said you were in love with me. You didn't say I felt the same way.
If you hadn't returned the feelings, do you really think I would have taken such a terrible risk to get back to you?
Let's take it one step at a time. How did you get on our ship?
That was easy. The hard part was looking for the runaway without anyone finding me. I managed 2 days on the ship before I triggered an intruder alert and lost my cloak.
And then what happened?
And then I met you.
Suddenly flashing back to a month before, the woman materializes in a cargo bay on Voyager. Angry at being visible, she sets herself to a task once more. With her weapon held ready, she stalks cautiously past barrels and equipment, alert for signs of the stowaway. She turns towards a noise, and Chakotay walks up behind her, his phaser leveled at her head.
Wrong direction.
I don't want to hurt you. Put your weapon down.
On my ship, I give the orders.
Put yours down.
I don't mean you any harm. You have a stowaway on board. I'll retrieve him and we'll be on our way.
That's not the way we do things here. Chakotay to Tuvok. I'm in Cargo Bay 2. I have our intruder.
Understood, Commander.
You're about to find yourself outnumbered. If you want to give me your weapon and explain what's going on, I'll listen.
She stares at him uncertainly and the challenge fades in her eyes. Lowering her weapon, she holds it out to Chakotay, who steps forward and slowly takes hold of it, his eyes locked on hers.
I felt an attraction right away, but I couldn't afford to get distracted. I had work to do. And I didn't know if you felt it too.
What happened next?
You took me to Captain Janeway. I explained the situation. She didn't like the idea of a stowaway on her ship, so she told you and Tuvok to work with me to flush him out.
And did we?
You keep trying to jump to the end. You're skipping all the parts about us.
And you keep trying to talk about your feelings. I'd rather you stick to the events, not the emotions surrounding them.
Why? Does it make you uncomfortable?
I don't want to play this game. I've been assigned to talk to you, to figure out whether or not you're telling the truth. Even if you are, I have no memory of meeting you. And I certainly have no memory of feeling anything for you. You might remember a relationship between us, but as far as I'm concerned, it didn't exist.
I see.
She stands quickly and walks to a window, her back to Chakotay. Clasping her hands behind her back, she closes her eyes, composing herself as Chakotay crosses to her.
I'm sorry. I just want to make it clear how I feel.
Of course.
Is there anything I can do for you?
Can I have your pudding?
Gladly.
And you're forgiven.
Oh. Chakotay and Kellan, report to the bridge immediately.
It's the tracers. They found me.
We don't detect any ships. I'm assuming these are your people in cloaked vessels.
They've come to take me back.
Harry, hail them.
They won't answer.
She's right, Captain. No response. Their weapons are going through our shields as if they weren't there.
Match shields to the frequency of their particle beams.
No effect.
Shield strength down to 29%.
They'll keep firing until you surrender, or until I contact them and agree to come back.
Do you still want to stay with us?
Yes.
All right, Tom, get us out of here.
That last volley damaged our propulsion systems. We have thrusters only.
Captain, if you'll let me have access to your sensor systems, I can modify them to detect the ships.
Do it. This is the moment, Chakotay. Either we give her up or we fire back. Which one is it?
Fire.
I think you might be able to detect them now, but only for a minute or two.
Harry.
Affirmative. Two heavily armed ships off the port bow.
Can we get them on screen?
That's the best I can do.
Two shadowy vessels glow on the screen, hurtling towards Voyager.
Tuvok, target their weapon systems.
Firing.
Voyager's phasers breach the attacker's defenses. They decloak and accelerate away.
Well done. Stand down, Red Alert. Well, it seems we've granted you asylum. Now you'll have to give some thought to what you want to do.
I'd prefer to remain on board.
Consider that carefully. We're heading for the Alpha Quadrant. Before long, we will be so far from your world that if you change your mind, you wouldn't be able to get back.
I won't change my mind. But I must warn you, the tracers won't give up that easily. Your ship is still at risk.
Nothing we haven't faced before.
I was only able to make a temporary modification to your sensors. If you'd let me access your astrometric processors, I could make that modification permanent.
You'll need a command officer with you to override the security lockouts.
I can do that, Captain.
Go ahead. Tom, coordinate with engineering to get the propulsion systems back online.
I'm on it, Captain.
Chakotay and Kellan cross through engineering into an access shaft. As the commander strides forward to a ladder, Kellan hangs back.
We'll have to climb up to deck 10. Is something wrong?
I can't relax until we're far enough away that they realize they can't get me back. And to my knowledge, that's never happened before.
There's always a first time.
I have a high security clearance. They'll be afraid I'm going to do exactly what I'm about to do. Show you how to detect them.
Look at it this way. If they do figure out we can spot them, they might realize they aren't going to be able to take you back.
Kellen's eyes mirror Chakotay's broad smile.
You're such a kind person. It's what I remembered most. It's what made me turn around and come back. And sometime, you might be interested in hearing about our last night together.
Later, Chakotay walks slowly into the mess hall where Neelix is cleaning up.
Evening, Commander. Craving a late night snack?
No, something to help me sleep. Got any ideas?
I know humans think warm milk will do it. Frankly, I find it repulsive.
I agree. What's available in the tea area?
Herbal is best. I have several Terran varieties, as well as some more exotic blends.
Just mix me up whatever you think is the most relaxing.
Neelix nods and bustles into the kitchen.
Problems? Forgive me, I wasn't trying to pry.
I know that. I'm just not sure how to answer you.
How's our guest adapting to life on Voyager?
Quite well, I think.
She must be happy to be here.
I'm sure she is.
Forgive me, Commander. But sometimes it's best to be straightforward. It's obvious how she feels about you. To me, at least, I see how she looks at you. Might that be the source of your consternation?
She says she, or rather we, fell in love when she was here before. Since I can't remember any of that, I don't know if it's true. But somehow it's hard to believe.
Why is that?
I don't know. It just doesn't seem like me. I'm still suspicious of her. I don't know if she's using me in some way just for her own purposes.
You don't trust her?
Not really.
May I suggest that maybe it's yourself you don't trust, your own feelings that you're afraid of? Sweet dreams.
He hands the commander his tea and walks away. Chakotay sits quietly in his quarters, sipping his tea.
I couldn't sleep. I need to talk to you. May I come in?
Chakotay steps back and motions for her to come inside.
I was just wondering if you still had doubts about me. Or if you believe what I told you about us.
Your story seems to have been verified. I believe you're telling the truth.
And the rest of it? What about us?
Chakotay cannot hold her gaze and looks down to the floor before turning and walking away from her.
I'm not one to hold back, as you may have noticed, so I'll get to the point. I came here because of you. I knew you wouldn't remember me. But I was sure we could regain the feelings we had before. They were there. They were real. But now I'm not so sure. My being here puts this ship at risk. It's better for everyone if I go back to Remora. So please be honest. If you feel nothing for me, just tell me, and I'll leave.
Chakotay looks at her as if paralyzed.
Don't go.
It's called ice cream.
I'm surprised you didn't have any the last time you were here.
I could eat this every day.
Then you should.
Voyager is a very powerful ship.
And very fast.
We've met people with ships that are faster and more powerful, but Voyager's always managed to be a match for the best of them.
Remoran vessels are fast. They could stay up with this ship.
Kellen, we'll keep you safe. That's a promise.
A tracer never goes home empty-handed. The disgrace would be too great. When I was here before, I'd been tracking that man for almost a year.
But you know all the tricks. You can use them against anyone who tries to come after you.
She gently lets her hand linger on his arm, and he looks awkwardly at her.
You said you were going to tell me about our last night together.
Let me show you. You were sitting here, in this chair, and I was here. And we were drinking something with bubbles.
Champagne?
Yes. I wanted to celebrate. I'd caught my runaway that day with your help.
How was that?
You came up with the idea of using a magneton sweep to disrupt his polarization cloak. We knew he'd be watching me closely, so we tricked him.
In a flashback, Kellen and Chakotay enter the transporter bay.
I'm sorry you didn't get your fugitive.
He must have jumped to another ship while Voyager was in orbit of Mica last week. I'll find him eventually.
If you think we could be of any more help, let me know.
Thank you, Commander. This is my problem. I'll handle it from now on. Just beam me back to my ship, and I'll backtrack to Mica. Goodbye, and thank you again.
Ready to energize.
Instead of activating the transporter, the strobing light of the magneton beam fills the bay, deactivating the stowaway's cloaking device.
Hello, Reskan. You are a real challenge.
I haven't had the chance to welcome you to Voyager. Too bad you'll be leaving so soon.
We put him in the brig. Once I used the neurolytic emitter on him, he was only too happy to be going home again.
Neurolytic emitter?
We use it on runaways. It wipes their memories of the outside world.
So we were celebrating?
You'd become much more than a friend to me. But I knew I had to go home and you'd forget about me within hours. So I took the initiative.
More than usual.
Oh, yes. I moved closer to you. I thanked you profusely for all your help. Told you that I couldn't have done it without you.
She gently sits on his lap, running her fingers through his hair and over his cheeks.
And I touched you. I told you I cared very much for you. And that I wanted something to remember you by. And then I did this. When I knew you felt the same way. But it didn't matter because I still had to go.
But now you don't. Kellen's going to be with us. The captain wants her to serve a function, to contribute in some way.
A reasonable expectation. What are her skills?
Basically, she was a security operative for her people. She's a trained expert in weaponry, surveillance, fighting skills. Any idea where she might fit in?
Mr. Neelix could use an assistant in the mess hall.
Tuvok, that was a joke. Don't deny it, you were trying to be funny.
If you choose to interpret my remark as humorous, that is your decision.
I do. And it was.
It's perfectly logical. All the qualities you mentioned would help in defending Neelix against the periodic wrath of the crew.
Maybe so. But don't you think she'd be better off as a member of your security detail?
Perhaps. I'll assign her to a team and let her observe for a week. At the end of that time, I'll evaluate her situation.
Good enough.
Commander, I've been giving some thought to the fact that the Remoran ships might be in pursuit and could attack us again.
I've given that some thought myself.
Their proton weapons were particularly effective against us. If Kellen would work with Seven and Ensign Kim, perhaps we could devise a strategy to defend ourselves.
I'm sure she'd be happy to do that.
Have her report to Astrometrics at 1300 hours.
I've downloaded data from our tactical logs. You can access it from this console. Our weapons are proton-based particle beams, very tightly focused.
It's like being hit with thousands of needles.
They can penetrate any shield, even if the modulations are changed.
Very clever.
No defense has ever stopped these weapons.
Then maybe we're about to make history.
You found a way to counteract them?
I think so. The trick is to scatter those beams a little, make it harder for them to penetrate the shields. I think we could do that by tying the baryon sensors into deflector control. Here's what I have in mind. Why don't you look this over and let me know what you think?
I'll do it right away.
By the way, I hear Chakotay recommended you to Tuvok to serve on a security detail.
I want to help out in some way.
A word of advice. Volunteer for Beta Squad. They're the best team. You'll learn a lot from them.
I will. Thank you.
When you mentioned Commander Chakotay's name, she flushed. He did the same when he saw her.
What are you saying?
I suspect the Commander and Kellen are engaged in a courtship ritual. Seems an unnecessary and complicated precursor to the act of procreation.
I know you think so, but trust me. Some people need those rituals.
Explain.
It's usually considered a good idea if two people get to know each other a little before they become intimate.
Why is that?
Because it's more comfortable. You spend some time together, you laugh, you talk. That makes it easier to get closer.
But the end result is the same, is it not?
Well, I guess so.
Then I fail to see what is accomplished by all the talk.
Seven, if you don't get it, then I can't explain it to you.
Obviously.
Harry stares after Seven in disbelief as she strides from the laboratory. Kellen studies a data recorder as she walks along a corridor. She's barely aware of being alone, so engrossed is she in her work. Crossing an intersection, she stops suddenly, staring fearfully down the corridor. It is empty. Her eyes dart fearfully around her as she quickly looks back the way she has come, before shaking her head and composing herself. She continues down the corridor and rounds a bend towards her quarters. She seems more confident, although she no longer studies her data recorder. As the door opens, she is suddenly aware of a presence. Nervously, she checks the corridor, her grip tightening on the recorder. Entering, she stops. Fear flashes in her eyes as she stares at a broken glass.
I should have known. They must have gotten somebody on board during the battle.
You're jumping to conclusions.
No, there's a tracer. He's here. He's come for me. That broken vase was a warning.
We'll protect you. I'm not going to let anything happen to you.
It's too late.
No. We can use the same magneton sweep we used to flesh out Reskit. We'll find this one and send him on his way.
I'm afraid I can't let that happen.
Kurnith, don't.
Chakotay to security. Intruder alert my quarters.
Please. I beg you, don't do this.
You know better than to ask that, Kellen.
No!
Drop it! Drop it! You're too late. She's already beginning to forget everything that's happened here.
Chakotay kneels beside her and she reaches to his face, staring pleadingly at the tracer before her. Kellen lies in sickbay, her eyes closed, her face peaceful, while the doctor scans her with a remote sensor. He checks the readings and looks up at Chakotay. They are still inconclusive, and with a shrug, the doctor walks away, leaving the commander and Kellen alone.
The doctor says there's nothing he can do. Your recent memories have already begun to fade.
Don't let this happen, please. Don't let this happen.
Do you have any idea how we can reverse the effect?
Promise me. If I forget why I'm here, if I forget you, do what I did, and you'll tell me all about us. And you'll help me to remember.
I will. But I'm going to try to do more than that.
Gently, he releases her grip on his hands. She closes her eyes and he tenderly lays her hands across her chest. Chakotay strides into the brig where the tracer sits alone in a cell.
Can the effects of the neurolytic emitter be reversed?
Reversed? I have no idea. As far as I know, no one's ever tried.
Then I'll be the first. Tell me how the emitter works, how it affects the memory centers.
You sound desperate, Commander. Does Kellen mean that much to you?
What you're doing is wrong. She wants to stay here.
This is futile. Even if I knew how the emitter works, I wouldn't tell you.
The containment field is switched off and Chakotay strides into the cell.
You have no right to do this.
I have every right. The laws on our world are very specific about that. No one may leave. No one may reveal anything about us to the outside world. Kellen has violated both of those edicts. Returning her will serve as a deterrent to others who might think of leaving.
Did it ever occur to you that the fact that so many people want to leave might mean that there's something wrong with your society?
We have a strong and cohesive society because of our efforts to keep it that way. A few runaways among millions hardly indicates a problem.
If there are so few, why not let them go?
That would suggest that we don't care about them. What a terrible message.
You may have wiped her memory, but Kellen's not going back.
Maybe we should wait and see if that's what happens.
She made it clear to me that she wants to stay here. So maybe you should start practicing what you're going to tell your superiors.
Chakotay stands outside Kellen's quarters, composing himself.
Yes?
The doctor told me he'd released you. How are you feeling?
I'm fine. Do I know you?
Yes. At least you did.
You'll have to forgive me, but I don't remember how I got here or anything else that's happened in at least the past few weeks.
I know.
I hope I wasn't throwing things in a fit of rage.
No.
I assume a tracer is here to take me back.
That's right. But what I'm going to say will sound strange. But it's what you asked me to do before you lost your memories. You came here about a month ago, looking for a runaway. After you left with him, you decided to come back.
But if I finished my assignment, why would I come back here?
Because you'd fallen in love with me.
Forgive me, you're certainly attractive, but what you're telling me seems very unlikely.
But it's what happened. We started to work together, and I began to realize how unique you are. Before long, I couldn't get you out of my mind.
Are you saying that you fell in love with me as well?
Yes. And then we realized the tracer was on board. After he used the emitter on you, you made me promise to tell you all of this, so you would know what happened between us.
This is a little unsettling. What is it you want from me?
Kellen, don't go back with the tracer. Stay here for a while, at least for a few days. We can get to know each other again.
I honestly can't imagine what would be served by that. I have to go home.
If you stayed, you might change your mind.
Then that's all the more reason that I should leave now. I've violated one of our most important edicts. And I wouldn't want to make that mistake again. I wish... I wish we had met under different circumstances.
Tracer's ship decloaks beside Voyager, and he and Kellan wait in the transporter room. Chakotay enters, carrying the neuralytic emitter.
Your ship's ready.
Thank you, Commander.
I've implanted a computer virus to eliminate any reference to our being here. By tomorrow afternoon, you'll have forgotten everything. It will be as though we never existed. It's better that way.
You're such a kind person. I won't forget that.
I wish you both the best.
Chakotay hands over the neuralytic emitter, and the Tracer steps up onto the transporter platform. Kellan's eyes hold Chakotay's gaze, and his face seems to beg for some recognition. She turns and steps up onto the platform. As she looks back at him, a gentle, almost imperceptible smile plays at the corners of her mouth, and the commander smiles tenderly back.
Energize. First officer's personal log, stardate 51813.4. Maybe it would be best, as the Tracer said, to forget about Kellan and the time she spent here. But I don't want to do that. I want to remember.
More coffee, Commander?
No, thanks. I'm almost done.
Strange to see you using those ancient writing implements.
It's the only way I could get a permanent record of what's happened in the last few days. I want to get it down before I forget it all.
I'm sorry things didn't work out for you.
I've been trying to make sense of it. I fell in love with her twice. I thought she could do the same. We were the same two people on the same ship. Why didn't it happen again? I keep going over and over our last conversation, trying to think if there was something I could have said, could have done. But nothing comes to mind.
Commander, I don't think you can analyze love. It's the greatest mystery of all. No one knows why it happens or doesn't. Love is a chance combination of elements. Any one thing might be enough to keep it from igniting. A mood, a glance, a remark. And if we could define love, predict it, it would probably lose its power. I'll let you finish.
Good night.
The End, voiced by Marston York for British Sky Broadcasting.